Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dio Double G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope that you are enjoying your Tuesday afternoon. You can catch an episode Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 on Noon and Zone WQEE 99.1 FM The Key. On the show today, I'm going to have two guests. I'm going to have Gabe Reynolds. We are going to talk March Madness and briefly talk about our alma mater, as they are in the championship game in the NAIA tonight. And then I'm going to replay the interview that Thrift Barringer and I did on Georgia Alabama Sports Live show on Saturday with the River Dragons play-by-play announcer Tom Callahan. So let's get the show started. Had a busy night last night on Georgia Alabama Sports Live, called the longest baseball game in Georgia Alabama Sports Live history. The Kendrick Spencer baseball game, this was a lot of fun. Kendrick wins 27-26 in 8 innings. The game lasted 4 hours and 30 minutes. And all the fans that were there, they were appreciative of me live streaming the game on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Had the athletic director of the Kendrick Cherokees, Coach Andre Dye, he was joining me on the broadcast. And it was a great win for the Kendrick Cherokees as they sweep the season series with the Spencer Green Wave. And they are 3-7 overall. They will take on Southwest later today, pending rain. Now, we do have Calvary Christian hosting Pacelli, but this game might be postponed because of inclement weather. We do expect rain in the forecast this afternoon. But here's some of the games that happened yesterday. Calvary Christian gets the sweep over Sherwood Christian Academy 18-0 and 16-0. LaGrange defeated Northside 17-3. You had Jordan defeating Central Lamaican 10-0. Jordan is now 7-7 on the season. Brookstone defeats Westfield School 16-0. On Wednesday, we got a big one on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. It's LaGrange, the runners-up in 4A in the GHSA, taking on Central, the runners-up in 7A in the AHSAA at Darnell Nelson Field in Phoenix City. And Georgia Alabama Sports Live is going to have that game. This is a busy week in sports. We've got Sweet 16 matchup, not just for the men, but also for the women. Caitlin Clark is really drawing the fans to the TV screen, as she survived a scare as the Iowa Hawkeyes advance over West Virginia. The Sweet 16 is set in the women and the men's bracket. And the NAIA championship, you know, I don't really talk much about the NAIA, but when my alma mater, Freed Harbin University, happens to play in the championship, I'm definitely going to mention it on the show. They are taking on Langston tonight on ESPN3, 8 o'clock Eastern, as this is the first appearance in the championship in school history. Freed Harbin right now 31-4, the best record they've ever had in the school history, as they got the 86-81 victory in the Fab Four against Grace. So a big shout out to my alma mater. Good luck, as the Lions of Freed Harbin will be taking on the Lions of Langston out of Oklahoma. And I'm hoping to get Dustin Seymour, the sports information director and the play-by-play announcer for the Freed Harbin Lions, on the show. I've reached out to several former Freed Harbin Lions players to see if they would be interested in being on my show. This week, I'm dedicating it to Freed Harbin. I mean, they deserve it. They're playing in the national spotlight, and wish them nothing but the best of luck. when I think about Freed Hardeman basketball, this is only their ninth tournament in NAIA history. It was the women's team that was always the team that was getting to the Fab Four. I remember they went to the Fab Four in 1999. They went to the championship in 2014. And they finally won it in 2018. It was a big moment for the school. And I am just proud to be a Freed Hardeman Lioness. That's where I got my start in broadcasting, as I was the part-time play-by-play announcer for the Freed Hardeman Lions. I have some games in the archives, and when I think of great Freed Hardeman players, I think of Daniel Hope, Wes Miller, Brad Nielsen, Tony Lambert, Ronnie Green, Christopher Smith, Myrie Chapman, Eric Jones, the transfer from MTSU, Kyle Techman, and Nathan Aaron, just so many great players. Oh, yeah, and I forgot about Jamie Norsworthy. Some of these players are in the FHU Sports Hall of Fame, and I'm excited that the Freed Hardeman Lions are in the NAIA Championship tonight on ESPN3, 8 o'clock. So on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have more of a detailed show previewing the Sweet 16 for both the men and the women, as Iowa is going to take on Colorado, USC taking on Baylor, Duke and UConn. I mean, don't sleep on UConn, but the matchup I really want to see is if LSU can get by UCLA. I know UCLA is the number two seed. We'll have an Elite Eight matchup possibly between LSU and Iowa, and that's what everybody wants. And I guarantee you that will be the most watched women's basketball game in television history. And it's a shame that that can't be the Final Four. And on the men's side, pretty much all the number one seeds advance. I'll preview it more on tomorrow's show. But let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks, because they had a historic comeback last night against the Boston Celtics. They were down by 30, and they win the game 120-118, led by DeAndre Hunter's 24 points. Is this a testament to the Boston Celtics and the fact that they couldn't close out the game? No, I mean, sometimes you have a night where you just don't give up, and they were able to make the shots when it mattered, and they get the win. I mean, this is not really a testament on how good the Hawks are or how bad the Celtics are. I still think the Celtics are the favorites in the East that will represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals, and I expect them to play the Denver Nuggets, the defending champions, in the NBA Finals. As the regular season is going to wrap up on April the 14th, so with that being said, we'll have play-in games that week on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and then the first round of the playoffs will be that weekend, the 20th through the 21st, and that's when we start really getting into the NBA playoffs here on this show. So on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have the Columbus, Georgia Vipers point guard, Cortez Chaney. He's been a guest frequently here on this show, the proud Kendrick alum, hoping that I could get him on the show and we can talk a little Kendrick athletics, because his Kendrick Cherokees had a slugfest last night at Kendrick High School. I gotta say, that was a great atmosphere. I know that it was 10 o'clock at night, it got cold, but I stuck through and I called a game that was 4 hours and 30 minutes, and that is an accomplishment that I could be proud of in my broadcasting career. So I'm hoping to get Cortez Chaney on, hoping to get the new Manchester head football coach on as well. So I'll have two guests on the show tomorrow. And with me going out of town for Easter weekend, I'll briefly talk about the opening day on Thursday's show. But I'll plan to air the interview that Thrip Behringer and I did with Columbus Lions general manager Lee Snow. That is going to be on Thursday, so you don't want to miss it. Right now, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have Gabe Reynolds. And then I'm going to close out the show with the interview that Thrip Behringer and I did on the Georgia Alabama Sports Live Show with River Dragons play-by-play announcer Tom Callahan. You don't want to go anywhere. It's the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we'll be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope that you're enjoying this afternoon. I've got a regular who's been a frequent guest on the show. In fact, he is leading the way with the most appearances on the Sports Beat. Back again following last week, please welcome to the show Gabe Reynolds.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's brackets are still somewhat intact after a crazy weekend of March Madness. And let's talk about the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it's somewhat intact. If you are one of those people that pick chalk, your bracket actually looks fine. I know that Kentucky and Auburn disappointed, but there hasn't really been a team. The double-digit team that's in the Sweet 16 right now is NC State. Everybody else pretty much is intact. I mean, the big shocker, I picked New Mexico to beat Clemson. I cannot believe Clemson's in the Sweet 16. I mean, congratulations to them. That's great for Clemson. But I'm looking forward to the Sweet 16. My bracket is not completely in shambles, but how's your bracket doing, Gabe?
My bracket pretty much is a paper airplane now. It's up in smoke. it's hanging on. I got, UConn and Houston bailed me out, but Kentucky hurt me. Auburn hurt me.
Yeah.
Kansas hurt me too.
Yeah, I had Gonzaga losing in the first round and McNeese. They are on their way to the Sweet 16. Yeah, I had Kansas in the Sweet 16. I had Auburn beating UConn in the Sweet 16 going to the Elite Eight. My Final Four is still intact. I had Illinois, North Carolina, Houston. Well, I take that back. I actually picked Texas to beat Tennessee. I kind of went against the grain. I was like, why not pick a 7 seed to make it to the Final Four? Tennessee actually showed out. I mean, they got the big win over Texas, and now they get ready to take on a Creighton team that's very hungry. I think that Tennessee could try to get back. I don't know. It's been a while since they've been to the Final Four. They've never been to the Final Four. You're right. Tennessee has never been to the Final Four. I think that they can really impress the committee by getting a win over Creighton. And now that Texas is out of it, I actually got Tennessee going to the Final Four.
I wouldn't sleep on Creighton, man. I mean, the way Creighton played the other day where they played so well that they had one starter have 4 fouls, and then they had one other person that had 2 fouls. So that team plays very well. It's a contrast of styles because Creighton is always moving. Creighton, even if you try to go zone, they're constantly moving in the zone, and that's what gave Oregon fits the other day against them. Even though Oregon came back and forced overtime, once they – But Oregon had only shot, I think Oregon only shot 8 free throws the entire game. And it was, you know, it was hard because Oregon couldn't handle the movement. And Oregon played a matchup zone against Creighton, but Creighton was able to shoot threes. They were able to go inside. They were able to slip cuts. They were able to screen. They were able to backpick. Whereas Tennessee is a more physical team. I don't think they've seen anything like what Creighton is going to throw at them in the SEC.
All right, let's look at the Sweet 16 matchups. We're going to start up in the East bracket where I had Auburn beating UConn, obviously. It's the rematch of the national championship game last year. It's UConn taking on San Diego State. And I know that the narrative is UConn, in my opinion, seems to catch a lot of breaks when they have won their 5 championships. And Auburn losing to Yale and then Yale beating San Diego State was a break for UConn. I think UConn wins this. They get to the Elite Eight. I got Illinois and Iowa State. I picked these two to face off against each other in the Elite Eight. I think the winner of this game actually will beat UConn and go to the Final Four.
I agree with that. I don't think I think UConn's been tested, but they've been tested in the Big East. They really hadn't been tested outside of the Big East Conference. They're a blue blood because of the championships, but they haven't played, you know, outside of Marquette and outside of Creighton, they haven't played anybody in a while. So I think UConn is vulnerable. When they'll win the Sweet 16 game, but I think Illinois will probably win, and then Illinois will move on to the Final Four based off the way they played in the first two rounds.
North Carolina and Alabama. Alabama was an overall number one seed last year, but lost to San Diego State in the Sweet 16. Now they can ride the ship. North Carolina was one of those number one seeds that I think that North Carolina can win the championship. They do have the pedigree. They've got the guard play. Alabama just does not play defense. I mean, Mark Sears is going to get about 30 points. You know, Alabama, you know, they kind of redeemed themselves. You know, gave the SEC, it wasn't looking so good. They were 1-5. And then all of a sudden, Tennessee and Alabama were able to get some wins. I like the win that Texas A&M had over Nebraska. What a game against Houston. Going to overtime, but Houston prevails. You look at all the quadrants and the Sweet 16, there really isn't any surprises. Just the only surprise I have is Clemson taking on Arizona, and then you have NC State taking on Marquette.
That now, I will say the NC State team, they're riding a huge wave. I think the Cinderella run for NC State comes to an end against Marquette. But if it continues, it'll be because of the big man in the middle, and Marquette doesn't have anybody that can stop him from dominating on the block. He's got a soft touch. He gets the ball up high on the backboard, and I mean, now if you get him in foul trouble, then you got a strong chance. Now I will say the team that I think that is in the most trouble. Just, you know, per se, I think that Houston and Duke game is going to be a really good Sweet 16 matchup. It's a contrast of styles. You got the blue blood in Duke, and you got probably the best running gun team in the land in Houston. And then Creighton, like I said, Creighton and Tennessee is just a matchup nightmare all the way around. It's a contrast of styles. But it's a good game. It'll be a good matchup both ways.
Gabe, let's say we're starting over and we get to fill out a fresh bracket going into the Sweet 16, which I enjoy doing that as well, especially since my bracket is trash. Who would you have going to the Final Four with the teams remaining?
With the teams remaining, going to the Final Four, I would probably say Arizona, Illinois, Purdue, and Houston.
Yeah, well, since my Final Four teams are still left, I'm just substituting Tennessee for Texas.
Okay.
But I do think that the national championship is going to be North Carolina and Houston, which would be a throwback from the 1980s with the Dean Smith teams going up against Phi Slamma Jamma. I'm just excited for Houston because I remember how great Phi Slamma Jamma was, and they never won a championship. And, of course, the pedigree of North Carolina winning three titles in this century, trying to go for a fourth.
I think if Arizona, because the game is being played out west, so Arizona's going to have – they're going to have the huge fan base. North Carolina's got the name recognition, but you're closer for Arizona fans to travel. And then the Final Four, if Arizona makes it to the Final Four, that's home court advantage for Arizona because the Final Four is in Glendale, Arizona. So I think the stars are aligning for Arizona to get to the Final Four and the championship game.
Well, you're absolutely right. They would have huge home field advantage if they got to the Final Four with it being played in Phoenix. I also think that Houston has a pretty decent home field advantage because, you know, Texas is not too far away. And I do think that UConn, being the overall number one seed, they are the most vulnerable. I think they do get past San Diego State, but I think that UConn, one of those teams that I'm just not sure if they are capable of repeating, because remember, Jordan Hawkins is no longer on the team. I mean, they got a lot of new faces, and like you're right, Gabe, you talked about them not playing a very strong schedule.
But one thing you got to factor in with these games, they're regional games and they're supposed to be neutral games. The Sweet 16 for the bracket, the Sweet 16 in the East is being played in Boston. That's not far from Connecticut at all. That's gonna be a home court advantage for them. And then when you look at the West, I want to say those games are being played in Los Angeles. Alabama, Carolina, and Clemson all have to travel to the West Coast for those games. Arizona's already right there. You go down and you look at Houston. Houston's Sweet 16 games are being played in Dallas. That's only a 3.5-hour drive from Houston for those fans to come up. And you got some Houston fans right there in Dallas. You got home. Some teams are going to have a significant home court advantage one way or the other, even though it's supposed to be a neutral site game.
All right, Gabe. So who do you have winning it all?
I'm probably going to go with the more popular opinion and go with Houston repeating. I mean, Houston winning it. The teams that have won the championship have usually been battle tested in some way in some portion during the tournament. And last night against Texas A&M, that was Houston's battle test. They had the lead, they lost the lead, it went to overtime, and then they pulled away in OT.
All right, Gabe, let's go ahead and switch gears and let's talk about the women's tournament, because I don't know if you would call it a scare, but LSU only won by 10 against Rice. They are matched up after getting by Middle Tennessee State. You got Iowa taking on West Virginia.
Which they should have lost, by the way. Which they should have lost. Second half, referees, LSU shot 37 free throws to MTSU's 8. We're not going to say that the refs had dictated the game in home court advantage. Someone right about that. And they know. LSU know they stole one. They know they stole one.
Looking at the women's bracket, they're waiting the winner of Creighton and UCLA. Iowa is taking on West Virginia tonight. They're waiting the winner of Colorado. It's starting to set up that it's going to be Iowa LSU in the Elite Eight. And then
They definitely setting that up.
Oh, absolutely. Texas and Stanford. It's looking like over there, because I think that Texas get the winner of Utah and Gonzaga, Tennessee, NC State. And then you look over UConn, a number 3 seed. They await Duke, who got a big upset over Ohio State, 75-63. You got USC that's going to be taking on Baylor. You know, Baylor's not the same team ever since Kim Mulkey left, but they're a 5 seed.
I mean, they had three championships under Kim Mulkey, and then just that just tells you how much coaching matters in this league. And then, of course, South Carolina. I think they roll to at least the Elite Eight, probably going to play Notre Dame.
That'll be a rematch of the opening game of the season that was played over in, I want to say, Scotland, where South Carolina and Notre Dame opened the season this year.
So, Gabe, it looks like the entire basketball world wants to see Caitlin Clark in the Final Four. I do think that that's going to be a tough matchup in the Elite Eight going up against LSU. But Iowa's a one seed. LSU's a three seed. You can never count out the champions. I know that LSU does have a shot to beat Iowa in the Elite Eight, but we got to get there first. But do you think if they can get past LSU, do they got an easy trip back to the championship where they more likely will play South Carolina?
I wouldn't say it would be an easy one, because even if they do win, they would still probably match up with either the other USC or someone else, because it's not a clear path to the championship game. And the way USC and Juju Smith is playing, I mean, you may be having a setup between to see who's the real USC versus South Carolina.
Well, that would be a good matchup. I do think that South Carolina obviously is the favorite because they were undefeated, but it would be a great story if Caitlin Clark did get a national championship. But she's going to go on to the WNBA, more than likely be the overall number one pick by the Indiana Fever. And I think she's going to have a fantastic WNBA career. I mean, this player is very special. But, Gabe, you're around girls and you coach girls at the high school level, so you know the fundamentals of the game of women's college basketball. In your mind, what type of player is Caitlin Clark going to be in the WNBA?
Caitlin's going to be a special player. I mean, she's going to be able to steal. I mean, if you think about it, everybody knows Caitlin as a shooter, but she showed in their previous game where she couldn't get her shots off, she showed that she could be a facilitator. She showed that she can, make assists and make plays for her teammates. So she's more than just a outside shooter. Like, she's going to be able to get her shot. She's going to be able to play. And then you pair her with Aaliyah Boston if she goes to Indiana, and that's going to be a dynamic 1-2 punch.
That's right. I forgot about Aaliyah Boston over there in Indiana, and that would be great for the sport. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the men and the women's championship pans out. But Gabe, we got to switch gears because we got to talk about our alma mater, because for the first time in school history, the Freed Harmon Lions team is in the Fab Four. When I saw that and I shared the video with you, I know that you were a student coach for the Lions team. And by the way, there is a special interview, I'll have to share it with you, that I did with you 24 years ago. It was a recap of the Lions season ending in the 99-2000 season. I know that you remember the team, you remember the players over the years. I mean, how special is it that Coach Drew Stutz gets the Freed Harmon Lions men's basketball team 30-4, best record in school history, and they're playing in the Fab Four tonight?
Man, that is awesome. He's got the mantra, chasing the red banner, and just to see the excitement and the energy. I hate this school. Actually, I like this school is out for spring break, because they were talking about taking the charter bus up to Kansas City to support the Lions basketball team. I know everybody in Henderson, everybody in Jackson, they're all rooting on the Freed Hardeman men's team. And it's just good for the school. It's good to get that notoriety, to get that visibility. Proud of the guys, you know, being an alum, being around the program. We've seen its humble beginnings. And then, you know, when we were there, where they only went to the national tournament one time, and that was actually before we got there. And then now look at them they're in the Fab Four about to play for a championship.
Yeah, I've been impressed with what Coach Drew Stutz has built at Freed Harmon. You talk about great Freed Harmon players. I mean, you got to start with like Jamie Norsworthy. I mean, you had Daniel Hope. You had Cheeky Stevenson. You had Michael Gaines. I mean, Kyle Techman. I mean, just great players. And you got to be a part of it, being a student coach. Was that what you give credit to now that you are a basketball coach, that time at Freed Harmon as a student coach? How did that help you become a coach now?
I would say that time actually showed me a lot. You know, it got my feet wet. Just learning the nuances, watching what Coach Waddington and Coach McCutcheon did in practice, how they put the how they put things together, learning from Marie, who went on to become a coach, Tony Lambert, who went on to become a coach, Daniel Hope, and all these guys that went on to become coaches in some form, you know, just staying together, because we all look back to our time and, you know, we kind of really didn't appreciate it then, but now as we've gotten older, we're like, okay, now I see what Coach was talking about. Now I see why Coach wanted us to execute it this way and why they were more so attention to detail on a lot of things.
Some of my great memories while I was calling the Freed Harmon basketball games, when the transfer portal wasn't popular, we had the MTSU transfer. Eric Jones came to Freed Harmon. You remember Dietrich Watts? What about Keith Wilson? You remember he just tore the house down during Midnight Madness with those dunks? I mean, great memories for Freed Harmon basketball.
Yeah, I just saw Eric Jones not too long ago. His brother is up here at Columbia Academy. I've still talked with Keith and Ronnie and Ronnie Green. And
remember Ronnie Green.
Chris Hayes and Chris Haynes. I'm sorry, Chris Haynes. And there are, you know, a lot of people here in the Nashville area from down on those Freed Hardeman teams and everything. So you look back and you're like, man, I know the alumni are proud. I see Cheeky all the time. His daughter plays over, and him and his daughter and Kelly, their daughter play over in Dixon County. I see Carla every so often. So, you know, just knowing that the women's program has won one and how dominant they were, it's good to see that the men have caught up. I'm not going to say caught up with them, but now it's on an even playing field now, where the men they're getting the recruits. They're getting people to come to Freed Hardeman. You go back down there, they took the wall that's right in front of the where we had chapel at, and they painted that mural right there. It's a true home court advantage where they got to host the regionals this year for the first and second round. So it's been a good thing, especially since your local rivals, Union, Lambert, all of them have transitioned to Division II. Lambert, they're the University of Memphis at Jackson now. So it's just to be able to still have that tie to basketball and that connection to the community in the area. We're excited for the Lions, and we're pulling for the Lions tonight to bring that red banner back to Henderson, Tennessee.
Oh, yes, I will be watching that game. You can catch it on the NAIA Network. Also, the sports information director that I'm hoping to have on this week, hopefully we could talk about a championship, Dustin Seymour, is going to be on the show as I reached out to him. He is excited about coming on my podcast. And Gabe, you know, yesterday's show, I had to start my show talking about Freed Harmon. I mean, I know that it's a podcast based out of Columbus, Georgia, but I got a small market in Henderson, Tennessee of people that still listen to my show, and I just wanted to give Freed Harmon their love.
Oh yeah, man. Hey, again, good luck to the Lions. Bring that red banner and that championship back to Henderson and West Tennessee, and let's celebrate. Regardless, win or lose, it's been a great season, 30-4, but we're going to celebrate these guys, but we really want you all to win it and do it not only for the community, but do it for the school. That'll be a fun chapel to go to right after the national championship.
Oh, man, I wish that I could have been there for 2018, because that was great when the women won the championship. But, Gabe, before I let you go, we do got to talk a little bit about the NBA I know that it takes a backseat to March Madness, but the regular season is a couple of weeks away, and the postseason's a couple of weeks away from closing. And you look at some of these teams right now, I think that right now Boston and Denver is probably my favorites to make it to the NBA Finals. But you can never count out the Lakers and Warriors. There is just something special about LeBron and Steph when they get into the playoffs. And I also think that the West is completely stacked. I mean, when you got teams like Dallas and Phoenix that are fighting for play-in games, and then you have the surprise of New Orleans with a healthy Zion Williamson. Hopefully he's completely healthy for the playoffs, because everybody wants to see Zion and how he slimmed down and that dynamic duo with Brandon Ingram. But really, what is your take on the NBA, and who do you see in the NBA Finals this year?
I like Boston. I think I'm with you. I think it's going to be – I think it's Boston and Denver. But I would not count out Milwaukee. You know, everybody right now is just playing for seeding. I think the matchup, the seeding is set. If Milwaukee holds on to the two seed, you know, they won't have home court advantage against Boston. Like you said with the Lakers, LeBron is calculating. If he just gets to the play-in game and he can get in, who knows what kind of damage they can do. Same with Golden State, you know. But I really think it's going to be Denver and Boston in the NBA Finals.
Gabe, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. And good luck with your bracket. And hopefully it'll pan out for you as far as, like, since we reset the field and made our picks. And it should be a fun next couple of weeks in college basketball.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm about to get ready to go in here and watch the women's second round right now and get ready for that, and then get ready for the Sweet 16 this weekend.
All right, that's Gabe Riddles, everybody, and he is also a head basketball coach of a girls' high school basketball team named Ezell Harding Christian School in Antioch, Tennessee. Always a pleasure having him on the show with his insight and his basketball knowledge. And I pulled the audio of our interview. I wanted to try to play it here on the show. I could not play it, but if you want to check out that interview, it's about a minute 15. You could listen to the show that was aired on Monday. Thanks again, Gabe, for being on the show.
Appreciate you having me, man.
All right, that's it. Thank you, everybody, for once again tuning in to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it, because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking 3 easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
We're going to bring on the man himself. He obviously knows more about live streaming and more about technology than me, Chris Richard, and Rick Beach all combined. And he has literally helped us step by step as we do this show. But thank you so much for joining us, Tom. How are you, man?
Well, the only reason I know, guys, is because I made the same mistakes. You know what I mean? I've already made the mistakes for you. And so I can tell you, I've you know, done the swearing and the throwing things already for you. And so I know I could fix it easier for you. You can avoid throwing your pens across the room. So,
yes. And Tom, you know, that look that you give, it's like, you know, you can't create a scene because you're live in front of a lot of people. But there's like this little thing that's inside of you that just wants to literally explode and punch a hole in a wall. But that's neither here nor there. It is Tom Callahan. Legendary play-by-play announcer. I don't use that term lightly. I don't say that for everyone, but a guy that has worked for ESPN, worked in the NHL as a play-by-play announcer, done all the things that I aim to even maybe, I don't think I'm going to accomplish getting to that high of a level, but if I can get anywhere near that, I would think my career is a success. I know yours is, Tom. We appreciate you coming on as you always do. And man, we're what, about a month away from playoffs? How about those Columbus River Dragons?
Yeah, how about those River Dragons? Best team in the FPHL right now. Just kind of staring down the barrel here of maybe in the next week and a half closing out the division, and then probably within 2-3 weeks closing out, hopefully, the league title as well to get home ice all the way through the playoffs. And Columbus has just had an outstanding year. They have only lost 4 times in regulation. They are 22-0-1 at home. So anyone who bought season tickets this year is having a tremendous time every time they come to the building. Yeah, this team has just been so good in so many facets. It's a very deep team. We've got a guy on the club right now who's got a league record point streak in progress. So every time last night he scored the first goal of the game, boom, now we're up to 35 games. Let me put this in perspective, guys. 35 games for Justin McDonald has a point in every game since December 1st. Here's the other thing that was crazy. So I keep milestones and stats for the guys because that's part of the play-by-play guys gig, right? So I go in, and he just hit 300 pro points in January. The other day, I'm running through doing the math. He's already at 357 pro points. 81 points in this scoring streak in those 35 games. 81 points. It's unbelievable what he's doing.
Tom, they got the 5-2 win over the Motor City Rockers last night. They'll play Motor City tonight, puck drop 7:35, and then the Sunday afternoon game. They currently stand at 113 points. The Motor City Rockers did snap the River Dragons' 16-game win streak. But if you look at the River Dragons having the best record in the FPHL, the next best team is the Bloomington Black Bears with 104 points. You got the Carolina Thunderbirds right there in second place in the Continental Division with 100 points. Which team in the FPHL would be the biggest threat to the River Dragons in the playoffs?
Are you ready for my surprise answer?
Let's hear it.
It's the Columbus River Dragons.
Wow.
This team cannot beat itself. And sometimes they have. Even if it's only for a period at a time, they might take a little nap. But the team that can beat Columbus is Columbus. And whether you get a little full of yourself because you're having success, whether you, you know, you're like, oh, we've won 16 in a row. And you know what? I think it's good that you get punched in the nose after winning 16 in a row because it brings you back to reality. You can't win every game. And sometimes when you're having that kind of success, you're on that kind of streak, all of a sudden you just find yourself, I don't want to say, well, I guess sometimes it is being lazy, right? Instead of stopping, you just turn gently and keep on going to conserve your momentum. Well, now you take yourself a foot or 2 feet away from where you need to be instead of stopping here. Completely different defensive or offensive angle. You stop doing those little things that are so important in every single sport. And so Columbus can beat Columbus. Now, if I'm going to answer the question you are asking me, Carolina has a thing for Columbus, and that's why it's such a great rivalry. They always get up to play us. Two of our 4 losses this season have come against Carolina. Carolina has most of its team back together. They are ostensibly as healthy as we are, as anyone can be in March of a long hockey season. I think they are always a threat. And Binghamton is a very good team, but we haven't seen them this season. Most of the play is within the division. So it's kind of hard for me to assess Binghamton. I feel like Binghamton's a little more top-loaded. I think that if the River Dragons are able to shut down the Black Bears' top line, they can have success against that Binghamton team. So maybe Carolina is the bigger threat because Carolina is so deep and so talented, just like Columbus is.
I think that is a great answer, Tom. And again, we're looking forward to seeing the River Dragons bring home their first championship since 2021 when they won their first championship. So hopefully this will be the season. I think also with a team that is from start to finish really been the best team in this league, I would agree with you. I mean, you would have to beat yourself. That's like the same thing you say about in college football, NFL, any of the great teams, the top teams, usually they have to beat themselves for them to lose a game. And I think with as talented as the River Dragons are, as what you've talked about, Tom, I agree with that. I do want to mention a little bit off topic when in terms of like on the ice and more about Tom Callahan, because again, like I said, you're big in this area. Let's talk about Cali's Corner and how that even started, how people can, and what does it entail and how people can start following that. I think that's a nice venture that you started.
So the River Dragons YouTube page, which is at Columbus River Dragons, carries the broadcast live. So in the FPHL, all the games home and away are broadcast on YouTube for every team, at least one team. So, for instance, Motor City didn't have a feed last night. Their fans were watching our feed, but that's fine. The game is still covered and it's still free for everybody. So, well, we have this YouTube page, right? So now I start thinking, well, what content are we going to put on this YouTube page? And I had some ideas. We actually did briefly bring in a broadcast assistant, but he ended up moving on, and that's fine. That's the politics and the business and how things go. But started a segment of doing a weekly practice report, which has morphed into Cali's Corner, along with now a podcast of our radio coaches show that reappears a little bit later in the week. We also do our Kinetic Credit Union Saves of the Week. We put those out weekly as well. So some extra content, some highlights. We are now going to, with the off season coming up, we're going to have a little bit more time to stretch our legs and really explore the depths of what content we can bring. But the idea is, I mean, it's fairly simple, but in this day and age, we are all now, and I say we, meaning sports teams or entities like yourself and your show, we are our own newspaper, our own radio station, our own TV station. We generate our own content. And so that is the most important thing I think we can do. And that's why, we started doing that with the YouTube. And we've done an excellent job on social media. Olivia Crew, who's our social media director this year, has been fantastic. I think she's done an awesome job. The team's presence is growing all the time, and it was time to expand it over to the YouTube side.
I think that's a great thing, and I completely agree with you. And honestly, a lot of the stuff you do, I don't want to say I mimic, but I watch and I ask you questions, you know this, Tom, because everyone in this area, we're all working on the same team, I feel like, because we're trying to bring notoriety to Columbus teams in this area. But with the River Dragons, I mean, I guess I want you to really harp on the social media aspect of stuff you're talking about, the community involvement. How big is that, especially for lower tier, minor league teams like the River Dragons, for them to be successful long term? You got to get in the community. You got to put out a lot of content, don't you?
You do. And especially if you're going to capture the younger fan. I think we already have the fans who are hockey fans. The people who love hockey and live in Columbus, Georgia, know we're here. And they come to some, if not a lot, of the games. Our challenge is to bring people who casually are saying, maybe I'll check out a hockey game. Well, how do you do that? If they know nothing about hockey, nothing about the rules, if you have a truly athletic play, something that looks amazing, I think in any sport that would translate. But those don't happen every night. So now what you have to do is you have to take your players, your coaches, your staff, and put those personalities out there. They're likable people most of the time. They have good sense of humor. And, some of them are just like you and I. They read the same books, listen to the same music, watch the same TV shows. And when you're out in the public, I think that lets people see a little bit more of who you are. And so we've had some great deals with partners this year. So doing Eat with the Team events. We've been at Texas Roadhouse. We've been at Applebee's. We've been at Chick-fil-A. We've been all around the area trying to get the guys out there in the restaurant. And it's a little more casual. You can get a selfie with the guys. You can talk to them a little bit, get an autograph. I think that interaction is what's important because it forges a bond. It forges a bond with the community and the team. And, I mean, our guys are out, at the hospitals, and they're out doing the community engagement. Things are going to schools, reading to kids, career days, all that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's really a matter of building that bridge to the Chattahoochee Valley community, and that's what Columbus wants to do.
Exactly right.
Tom, how is it for the team playing under a coach like Jerome Boom Boom Bouchard that expects excellence from his team, and how's the team gelling under Coach Boom Boom Bouchard's philosophy?
So it's interesting because Boomer is, as a former player, as a former champion in this town, in Columbus, Georgia, he truly does know what it takes to win. He's definitely a player's coach, and I think his attitude is a little bit towards this point of the year. He feels like he has been putting his message out there 4 months now, and now he really needs the guys in the room to take that message to heart and lead the team themselves as much as they can. Yes, he's still behind the bench. He's still coaching. He's still X's and O's. But the accountability needs to shift from answering to the coach to answering for each other. And I think that's what builds a championship team. And I believe the accountability has shifted as we've entered the spring here with this team. And I think that that's the kind of building that they're doing. It's now you come back to the bench, you know, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. There's not one man to answer to. There's 15. And that's a lot more responsibility and accountability to do the right thing and play the game the right way.
And you see with, again, I may allude to all the other sports, but you see the teams that win championships, usually they are self-coached. The coach doesn't have to do much in terms of accountability, responsibility, holding his team accountable, because you're going to have leaders and guys you're talking about. They're going to hold the rest of the team accountable. The coach has got to worry about the X's and O's and who to sub in when, and that makes a championship team. What are some of the things coming up? I know we have a home game tonight. You're live right now. I guess, can we call this Cali's Corner right now in some part of the arena? Anything going on tonight or coming up in the next few weeks? Any type of promotion or anything going on for Columbus area people to come and see the River Dragons?
Yes, this is my little corner of the world. I'm up in the press box right now where I do the games from. So tonight is Phoenix City night, discounted tickets for Phoenix City employees. So if folks are coming out, come down to the box office with your Phoenix City employee ID, if I could just go ahead and say that. Tomorrow, Sunday, 4:05 p.m. final game against the Rockers. Nothing too crazy going on. But then we have only three home games left, believe it or not, guys. April 5th, April 6th. And then April 13th. April 13th is Fan Appreciation Night. It's the final game. We're trying to pack it out. It's our final family four-pack night, which is brought to you by Chick-fil-A Midland and our sister station, Kissin' 99.3. $40 will get you four tickets, four popcorn, four Pepsi products, four hot dogs, and then four Chick-fil-A coupons, all for $40. But that's only through our office. You cannot get that at the box office. They will look at you funny. So come down to the River Dragons office or call 706-507-4625, 507-4625. The other one I got to put out there, because we were talking about Boomer earlier, but Boomer and all of his cohorts and some guys from that championship team come back, and they play in, drumroll please, Legends Weekend.
Okay.
Legends Weekend is coming up April 5th and 6th, and I know a lot of folks look forward to that. It's a lot of fun to see, you know, the old veteran Cottonmouths and even some River Dragon vets get out there, and they'll play a game on the 6th before our game. But the whole weekend is dedicated to Legends Weekend. We're even doing some Legends of the Chattahoots on Friday night and kind of saying our goodbyes to baseball from the Ignite Sports family. I know I'm going to miss the Monsters and the Chattahoots quite a bit this summer. So, but that's what we're doing the whole weekend. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. And that's the 5th and 6th. And then the 13th is the final home game. Playoff seats are already on sale because we've clinched a spot. Now we're just trying to clinch the division and clinch the entire league so we have home ice all the way through. But, yeah, playoff packages are on sale already, guys. We're that close. 11 games left.
Wouldn't it be pretty cool to be hosting up that trophy here in Columbus? I think that is what everybody wants. So go out and support. By the way, the April 5th and 6th, the Food Truck Festival is back. So that's a huge event that happens in Columbus. That's honestly probably a couple miles. It's at Woodruff Park from the Civic Center. So when you get done at the Food Truck Festival, make your way over to the Civic Center, watch Boom Boom Bouchard and all the legends play, and then watch Columbus Lions hopefully clinch home playoffs throughout the rest of the regular season. So it should be a fun weekend here in Columbus.
Come on down, and after you're done with the food trucks, just take a few laps around the Civic Center, kind of walk off those fried Oreos that I know you're all eating. Don't tell me you're not, because you are. And then, yeah, come on inside and watch some River Dragons hockey. It'll be a lot of fun.
I'll tell you, I'm going to be emceeing it. I've emceed that event for the last 6 years, Tom. And every single time, the way I entice the people, I was like, listen, I'll talk about you. Just throw me a little appetizer. Throw me a little So it'll be something that I can talk about when I'm on the microphone, but then end up gaining 5 to 10 pounds every time I do something like that because it's about 60 food trucks. But thank you so much for coming on, Tom. Final question I do want to talk about is Bites and Brews, a place that I went to 2 weeks ago. I actually took my girlfriend and her kids, had a lot of fun there. I know it's more for adults, but for kids, it's family-oriented. It can be for kids, can be for adults. After about 8:30, I think, is when they start making it where it's adult-friendly. You're actually doing something with them every single week, and you told me there are 15 teams in a trivia night that you were hosting. Talk about that, Tom, and how people could come and see you host it.
Actually, Chris Poirier is going to love that you led me into this. But, yeah, so I used to do a lot of trivia nights before in my former life as a DJ. I used to do clubs and happy hours, and so okay. I did trivia nights as well. And so we brought back a trivia night at Bites and Brews. It's going to be Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. Now, I'm not going to be hosting this Wednesday because the team is leaving at 5 for a road trip to Michigan, but I am writing the quiz. It's a lot of fun. And it's 5 rounds, 5 questions at Bites and Brews every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock upstairs. They have an upstairs and a downstairs, so it's upstairs. And what was great about it is in the final round, that's where you got to kind of gamble with your points a little bit. And we had two teams come from pretty much last place to finish first and second, which is wild. And it's always a lot of fun. And as a matter of fact, they were shocked that it happened. But it's fun. I'm not going to pigeonhole the whole thing into sports all the time. It's general knowledge. We were all over the place. You know, I did geography and current events, and even did a category. This is one of my favorites. It's a category called Dead or Canadian, where you have to know if the person is dead or Canadian. And once around, we have one dead Canadian. So it's just an awful lot of fun. I like to have a good time. I like to have a lot of laughs with it. And so, yeah, Wednesdays, we'll be doing that on the regular.
Well, I won't be there this Wednesday because you're not going to be there. But the next time, I promise you, we will be there. And hopefully all the Georgia Alabama Sports Live supporters can be there. I love a good trivia night. All right, Tom, tell everyone where they can find you on social media, when you're at your coach's show, how they can watch the game tonight if they don't come in person. Floor is yours. Promo Columbus River Dragons.
All right. Well, if you do want to come down tonight, 7:05 puck drop here at the Columbus Civic Center. 6:30 is our pregame show. So you can listen on 106.9 Rocks on the way in on the radio. But tickets available at the box office starting at just $11. We are playing tomorrow, Sunday, 4:05 p.m. You can catch me on Twitter or X at Callahan on Air. I also have a Facebook page, and you can tell it's me because I'm drinking a Tim Hortons coffee and wearing River Dragons gear. And there are two giant River Dragons behind me in the photo. So if you want to follow me over on Facebook, you're more than welcome to do that as well. But yeah, a couple of home games left here, Motor City tonight and tomorrow. And then looking a little further down, by the way, I failed to mention, but I should, the last three games of the regular season, two on the road, and then Fan Appreciation Night, April 13th against the Carolina Thunderbirds. You could not ask for a more intense way to end the regular season.
Yeah, so you like Duke, North Carolina, you like Alabama, Georgia, or whatever rivalry, I guess Boston, L.A., when it comes to NBA, that is what you get in this league when you talk about the Carolina Thunderbird and the Columbus River Dragons. Thank you so much for joining us again, Tom. Good luck tonight, and look forward to seeing you real soon, man.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
And that is Tom Callahan of the Columbus River Dragons. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we got Lee Snow from the Columbus Lions. So we go from the River Dragons to the Lions right here on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We'll be right back after this live from Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. Get ready to smile.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience,
baby-like wonder,
indecisive,
anticipatory chewing,
nervous pacing,
happy claps,
and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any Trolley that crawls your way.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.